Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Where's the Dreamer? This is the radio show where we affirm and celebrate and play with the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. We have a wonderful guest back with us today. Her name is Tanaya Amelia Wizorek. She's a dream teacher. She's an artist. She's a leader of sacred rituals. She's an all-round interesting, fascinating person. And Tanaya, welcome.
Thank you, Robert. It's lovely to talk with you again and be here.
Well, one of the reasons that I invited Tanaya to come back on is we had a good time with her last time. She's doing such good things in terms of bringing art, creativity, dreaming to people all around. She does dream coaching. She leads dream salons. She does all sorts of interesting ritual work. She helps people to bring out the artist and creator inside. But part of my ulterior motive, not secret at all, is she is also the artist of the remarkable painting, which is part of the cover of my new book, Mysterious Realities. The title of the painting is The Amber Road. I posted a blog about by Tanaya about the making of this painting a while ago on the Robert Moss blog. You can go and find that. And Tanaya, what is your own website address?
Yeah, my website address is www.dreamsthatspeak.com. So dreamsthatspeak.com.
Yeah, so it's Dreams That Speak. People can manage that with no breaks, no pauses, no periods in between dreamsthatspeak.com. So that's terrific. So you can find more of Tanaya's story there. So we're going to come back to that in a moment, the making of The Amber Road, why the painting is on the cover of my new book, Mysterious Realities. Well, I'll tell you why. It's irresistible. You see this cover, and you feel that something is inviting you with a crooked finger, and more than a crooked finger, with a sort of invisible wind, an invisible thrust, like an invisible Chinese wind dragon. Something is pushing you, pulling you into a place of mystery and discovery. There's a black Madonna, there's a mother, there's a goddess figure on the cover. There is the Amber Road. There are wonderful words in poetic text. There are dark and bright and jeweled mysteries. So you'll see why we found Tanaya's painting irresistible. And thank you so much for allowing us to use it on the cover of Mysterious Realities.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure. It just feels perfect, and I'm so excited to read the book.
If you're wondering what I'm talking about at this point, and you might be, this is my new book. It's not quite out yet. It will be available at the end of September, officially published in early October. The title is Mysterious Realities, A Dream Traveler's Tales from the Imaginal Realm, coming from New World Library. All right, Tanaya, let's do what we often do on this show, which is to help people understand how we work and play with dreams. And to do that, I'd like us to take turns, if you're up for this. Take turns. No terms involved except the terms of our process for sharing these things. I'd like us to take turns in sharing a dream with each other and then playing guide for each other by the process we call the lightning dream work, which, for those who are familiar with this, is a simple four-step process for sharing a dream or a story that enables us to create a safe space where we can hear each other deeply, receive non-intrusive, non-authoritarian feedback from each other, and be guided towards action. Are you up for that? Do you want to be guide or dreamer for the first round?
Maybe I'll be dreamer for the first round.
Okay, that means you're going to tell me a story. So we're going to pretend that you don't quite know what you're doing, which will be clear to people immediately that you do know what you're doing. But let me just say to you, okay, Tanaya, here we are. Do you have a dream or story you'd like to tell me?
I do. I have two that are competing for my attention. And this, I had one kind of planned out, but I think this other one has sort of emerged, and it just has some juice, and you actually are in the dreams. So I thought that might be interesting.
Okay, it's always interesting playing guide for someone telling you a dream that involves you. But, you know, since dreams of me is among my favorite kind of dreams, at least when I'm not doing something too despicable. Let's have it.
No, you're not despicable in this dream.
Oh, good. That's good to with you.
All right. So, yeah. So, in this dream, I appeared in a city square in Poland. It felt like it might be Warsaw or Warszawa. And Robert was there to greet me when I appeared in the city. Dusk was falling, and Robert wrapped me in a warm embrace. I felt safe and seen and held. Robert pointed out a grocery kind of cafe across the street, and I was trying to remember some of my Polish language, and I asked a woman nearby if she wanted coffee or beer in Polish, because that was all I remembered. Telling me about the place and kind of introducing me around this ancient square, and we walked to the center of a plaza to where there was a rocky outcropping. It was kind of a brick plaza, and then just through a couple of buildings and down a little path, there was a rocky outcropping, and there was a spring and a waterfall just behind, tucked behind the rocky outcropping. And Robert told me about the spring. He told me about its healing waters. And there were all sorts of, you know, people of the city kind of milling about, picnicking, sitting around the waters. And one person touched the water, and it was hot and mineral-rich. And it felt like an important and sacred place. And that was the dream.
Okay. Tell us the title again.
Take Me to the Fountain.
Okay. Now, the first question we ask when we have a dream is first feelings coming out of the dream. So what are your feelings as you emerge from the dream?
I felt exhilaration, a sense of remembrance. I felt a sense of recognition and familiarity with the place. And it was one of those dreams where I felt like I had really been in another place, like I truly traveled. So there was excitement and mystery. And the overarching feeling was one of reverence and awe at these healing waters and gratitude that Robert had showed me them.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so the dream place is familiar. Let's do the reality check. You have Polish ancestry. We know that's part of your story and part of the story of your wonderful painting, The Amber Road. What do you recognize in the dream? You know, Robert, do you know a place of healing waters like this? Is it possible you go to Poland?
You know, my relationship with Robert is one of mentorship and guide and as a guide, you know, so in terms of a reality check, that feeling of Robert showing me to a source of healing and vitality and like rich minerals feels very appropriate. And I do feel called to visit Warsaw. I do think that my family had roots in the old town of Warsaw. And when I see my sister recently traveled to Poland and visited Krakow, and some of her photos from the trip had a similar feel to this dream. And she was in one of the dreams of the Amber Road that kind of made up this painting. So that feels, and she's the first family member to return to Poland in my immediate family in 3 generations. So that connection too.
Wonderful. Well, I feel some of the spray, some of the delicious energy of this dream is floating around us and reaching anybody listening to us right now. So already, thank you for bringing us under this spray of healing water. What do you want to know about the dream? What are you most curious about?
Well, I just made one other reality check connection, and then I'll answer your question. The rocky outcropping feels really potent and pertinent. I know in the last radio show I did with you, we talked about my dream of my father, who's a geologist, and the landslide on the road. And so whenever, you know, rocks, mountains, hiking, you know, certain natural landscapes really remind me of my father. So there's a connection to with the rocky outcropping.
Yes.
So I'm most curious if this dream holds a clue for me about connecting to my ancestors, about possibly traveling to Poland, and maybe guiding other people to the springs of life.
Beautiful. So, speaking as your dream character tonight, for a moment I'm delighted that the dream Robert is able to welcome you to this place of ancestral connection and deep healing and even perhaps the creative spring. And all that one feels with the joyous energy of the dream. standing outside the role of Dream Robert. I mean, perhaps I'm thinking that Robert represents the part of me or the part of Robert's approach to teaching and dreaming that can take me and can take others to the sacred spring in the sense of a source of healing and creativity and ancestral connection. So it doesn't have to be the literal Robert, of course, or even the Dream Robert in his dream body, though he does seem to get around. It can represent how this approach, for which Robert might embody as a dreamer. I should mention that I happen to know that Tanai has completed all three levels of Robert's training for dream teachers. So the Robert figure may represent the approach that gets you to the sacred spring and the healing waters, which is great. If it's my dream, because I've been to Poland, but of course I teach close to Poland all the time. I teach particularly in the Czech Republic, and actually in the near future I will be teaching just south, just next to the Polish border. I'll be teaching one of my depth workshops called Writing as a State of Conscious Dreaming, and we will be at a place of a sacred river with not the spring, not hot waters, not healing waters in that sense that I know, but a river with a rich history and a waterfall and a cascade and a tremendous importance in the tradition of writing and creativity in that part of the world. So if it's my dream, though I know it's Warsaw, Warszawa and all of that, I think of my sibling in Krakow, I also think of a place very nearby with a very similar language where, you know, in my life I will be aiming to lead people to the sacred spring of the muses, so to speak, the spring of creativity. And it would give me a tremendous, not better than a slap on the face or a pat on the shoulder. It gives me, you know, I'm drenched with delight at the thought of all the creativity that might come through. So I feel blessed, I feel energized, and I want to make it my practice, as I think you do as a teacher and artist. I want to make it my practice not only to get myself to these springs of creativity and healing and ancestral connection, but to bring others to them, get others into the water. So I feel blessed by the dream, and what I need to do about it is to find ways of honoring it. Perhaps I'm going to plan a trip into ancestral territory, or maybe I'm going to go, if I can, to healing waters, a healing spring of this kind, not necessarily in that landscape, but somewhere I could get more easily. So what actions are you going to take to honor and celebrate this delicious, wonderful dream?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that just jumped out at me is in the dream of the Amber Road, in that original dream, there were ancient priestesses dressed in white, and one of them was dipping a purple cabbage leaf, which appears on the book cover, in holy water and sprinkling it on everyone who was present. And this dream feels connected to that, and what you were sharing kind of helped me make that link. So I think as my action step, I would like to create some sacred water and maybe use it in a cleansing ritual in my home. And I just turned 40, so I'm kind of entering a new decade and maybe doing some sort of ritual bath to kind of clear my vessel so that I can offer what I've learned to others, even more clearly and potently.
And you'll travel everywhere with a purple cabbage leaf from now on, like, ready to sprinkle.
I eat purple cabbage just about every day.
I remember the original dream, and yes, indeed, there is a scene where the instrument of sacred cleansing and purification is a purple cabbage leaf dipped in holy water. I've never actually seen that. I've seen, and in fact, in the old days, I used to do it myself with a sprig of basil or basil, although I've lived in America for a long time. I still can't say basil. I have to say basil, which is what you still see in Greece, a sprig of basil. But the purple cabbage leaf, why not? I mean, the image brings together something that's very colloquial and everyday in a part of the world like Poland, where cabbage is part of the daily diet. It brings together, you know, an everyday form of food and nutrition with what the people eat every day with a sacred intent. What we like to do, as Tanaya is well aware, is when we finish the process of sharing, we like to wrap it up, at least for temporary closure, by coming composing something like a one-liner, a snapper, a bumper sticker. It's a phrase that you can come up with that harvests the energy, the direction of the dream and the discussion?
Yeah, it was something you said just perfectly encapsulated it. Sacred spring of the muses, an ancestor.
Yes. That's delicious. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, I think, good. It's great. What, what a wonderful way to begin. We may even come to your second dream later on, so it's not going to be growling and snarling in the background since it was not picked over the one where Robert appears hugging you and embracing you into ancestral Polish territory. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a very short, it's short in length, and it's not a, let's say, a major dream, but it's fairly fresh. It's from a couple of days ago, actually. And it takes us into Californian geography. So I'm going to give I'll be your subject. So do you want to ask me if I've got a dream?
Yeah, Robert, would you like to share a dream?
Yeah, I'd be sure. It's not a big dream like yours, you know. Is that okay to have a little dream?
Absolutely, yep.
Good, thank you. So I have a title for the dream. The title is When Not to Jump Out of a Speeding Car. That's the title. So, I'm driving a white car on the road from Gilmore to Highway 1 in California. That's where I am. I'm irritated by other drivers who either tailgate or pass me in an inconsiderate way. However, there are very few cars on the road. I get bored with the whole scene. I throw open my driver's side door. I'm going to throw myself out of the car. I don't intend to kill myself, just to change the scene, because I'm bored. I may or may not be aware that I'm dreaming, but I know I have the power to do this, to just jump out of the car, until the car starts veering off the road towards a large, dry field. It occurs to me at this point but the body I am in may not do so well if it's thrown from a speeding car. So I get back behind the wheel, shut the door, and bring the car to a stop before the turn onto Highway 1. I need to calm myself and figure out what's going on here. So that's the dream. That's the dream snippet.
And you titled it, When Not to Jump Out of a Speeding Car?
And Not to Jump Out of a Speeding Car, yeah.
And what are your feelings after you share this dream, and if you remember any of the feelings you had, you know, immediately upon waking from the dream?
Well, in the dream, it's very just so. I mean, it's very much as I described. I mean, I am bored and irritated with the drive. I want to get out of it. And then I get somewhat nervous that if I throw the body out of the car, I won't survive. So there's an instinct. The feeling is caution. Not panic, but inside the dream, it's caution, it's self-evaluation. It might sound like a feeling, but it really is. I'm sort of appraising myself and reflecting. So it's thinking more than feeling inside the dream. When I wake up, I'm calm. I'm not agitated. I'm certainly not panicked or upset. I'm calm and I'm curious. I want to know what's going on. So I'm not tremendously emotional, but I'd like to know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you a couple of brief questions, and then we'll do a reality check. But I'm curious, do you, because at one point in the dream you said that, like, initially you felt like, even though you weren't totally sure if you were dreaming or not conscious of that, that you would be okay if you jumped out, but then there was a little hesitation with that of maybe this body, once you saw, or if it was my dream, once I saw that grassy area, I wasn't sure if the body would survive it. Did you have a sense if it was your kind of current body in this lifetime, or if it might be a different body or a different gender? Do you remember the body at all that you were in?
Some of that you'll cover when we get to the reality check, but it definitely feels, it doesn't feel like an alien body. It doesn't feel like someone else's body. It might be a somewhat younger body than my present body, but I don't feel that I'm in someone else's body in someone else's reality.
Okay. Well, let's do a reality check. So is there anything from your life, either past, present, or potential future, that you feel might relate to this dream?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Well, the reason I can identify the location is I used to drive that road, I think it's 157, from Gilmore, the Gaelic capital of that part of the world, en route to Gilmore. Gilroy, you're right, it's Gilroy.
Yeah.
I'm misbehind
it.
So it's Gilroy. So I used to take, I think it's Watkinsville you go through, and then you get Gilroy. Anyway, I might be screwing that up too, so let me not trust
myself. No, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. I know that area,
So I've driven that road. I used to drive that road a lot. I taught at Esalen for many years. I've more or less stopped teaching at Esalen. Actually, I've stopped driving altogether, so that's a change. I stopped driving automobiles altogether about 4 years ago because something just told me it wasn't safe, it wasn't okay. So it's not literal reality. It's not likely to be future reality because I don't think I'm going back to Esalen, but never say never. I've said that in the past and gone back. And I've had wonderful times at Esalen and had wonderful workshops. But that's why, even though I call it Gilman instead of Gilroy, that's why I know where it is. I've been on that road many, many times and know it fairly well. And I recognize the scene. And being bored and irritated by the drive, well, that could happen from time to time. So if it relates to my current life track, it would be from a slightly earlier period. I own a white car, but I don't actually drive it where I live. So it's familiar territory, but it's an anomalous situation because, as I say, I've stopped driving and I've stopped teaching at Esalen. But that part of it is quite familiar. If we stay with the reality check for a moment longer, what is also familiar is waking up inside a dream, not necessarily dreaming per se, but to the fact that even if I am dreaming, I'm in a reality that has physical laws. I have found myself about to do something in dreams on many occasions and suddenly realized, wait a minute, Robert, you can't actually jump off a cliff and fly in this reality. It may not be ordinary reality. It might be dream world, but it has its own physics, and you better be careful. So that's the theme I'd like to come back to. We're going to have to take a pause in processing my dream, but let's get ready to take a pause. Let's just reflect on that for a moment. One of the things, still continuing on the answer check on my dream about driving strangely from Gilroy, California to Ireland.
Robert, my connection has gone bad. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Are you? All right. Well, we're going to take a pause
better,
and maybe
right
things can be sorted out. Is it better now?
Yes, it's better now. Thank you.
We have to break anyway. So you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Mouse. We'll leave it on that cliffhanger of when is it safe to throw yourself out of a car, even if it's a dream world, and when is it not? And we'll be back in a moment after the break. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Mouse.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Mouse. Our wonderful guest, Tanaya Amelia, is a... am I getting that right? I'm doing so...
Absolutely.
Okay.
You even pronounced my last name correctly.
Dream teacher, shared a dream of her own. We're in the midst of processing one of my own dreams by the lightning dreamwork technique. And in my dream, as I said, I'm driving a car on a road that I know, that I'm no longer traveling, and unlike the travel in the future. And I want to do something. I'm bored with the drive. I start to throw myself out of the car. And then I realize inside the dream it might not be safe to jump out of the car. I don't want to kill myself. I just think that I'm invulnerable and I can just get out of the car however I like. So it's starting to discuss the situation in which, in a dream, in my dreams anyway, you might wake up to the fact that you're dreaming, but you're in a world that has its own physics. In other words, not always a dream where you can fly because you're dreaming. It's not always a dream where you can shapeshift into another form because you're dreaming. And that is part of the reality check process we were doing. I think, for example, tonight of a dream where I'm having a wonderful time in a forested situation and I realize I want to, fly off the edge of a cliff And I realize, as in the movie Avatar, actually, I mean, I might be able to jump from leaf to leaf, from tree to tree, or ride a dragon-like creature, but I can't just throw my body off the cliff because my body is subject to physical laws and could be smashed up. So what is familiar to me in the dream is a situation in which I might realize that I'm dreaming. I'm certainly become more aware I'm not in ordinary reality, but I'm in a reality that has its own physics. You can't get away with just anything. You've got to respect the physics of where you are. So that's part of the reality check on my dream of it not being safe to jump out of a speeding car.
And I'd love to ask you just a few clarifying questions before we move on. So you mentioned that you do actually have a white car in waking reality, but that you don't drive it regularly. What type of car is it, and what is that car's life like right now? Does it get used? Is it in storage?
Oh, no, the car's on the road, but I do, other family members drive it, but I don't. It's a white Hyundai. We love the car. It has a nickname, of course.
What's the nickname?
Finny.
What is it?
Finny, like thin. It's got that thin thing on the back, so you know, the radio and so on. And
got
it's a nice
okay.
car, but I don't drive. And I've had white cars before. Long ago, I had a white Jeep, which I used to drive in all sorts of wild situations, but that's a long time ago.
Okay. And I something that just popped up intuitively for me is, you know, Gilroy being the garlic capital. If I, you know, and this is a good way to kind of illustrate part of how we can, you know, use the lightning dreamer process is to ask, like, if I was an alien coming to Earth, what is garlic? How would you describe garlic or your connection to garlic?
Oh, garlic is wonderful. If I had a vegetable, I'd be garlic. I mean, garlic is essential to your health. Many people find it offensive, but it has segments and many parts to it. It is absolutely one of my favorite things in the world. I'm not particularly interested in garlic festivals or garlic souvenirs, but I have been known to stop at some of those stalls around Gilroy and check out the garlic, so I am a garlic lover.
Okay, and then my last question before we move on is kind of weaving into the reality check. In the beginning of the dream, you mentioned that you were feeling kind of irritated, bored with the way things were going on the road, people cutting you off, everyone going super fast. I'm curious if there's any circumstance or situation in your life right now where you're having similar feelings, like things are speeding ahead, but you're maybe bored with them or kind of disinterested or irritated?
That's a very good question. I don't know that I feel that as a current issue. I mean, the dream is from a couple of days ago. I don't recall feeling that particularly at the time of the dream or right now, but certainly one can feel that way. It's interesting that the road is actually basically open. I mean, it's very easy driving. There's not too much traffic, but maybe that's why it seems to count for more than from time to time. Someone sort of tailgating and then passing in a sort of reckless fashion because the road is so open seems unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, I can get bored and irritated when I feel that people aren't behaving properly. I'm not sure that that's a major issue right now.
Okay. And was that at all connected to your time at Esalen? Were there elements of either traveling there or back or certain dynamics that kind of related to teaching there?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm not superhuman. I mean, I can get bored and irritated with the behavior of other people. That may have happened in a certain teaching location in the past, and it could happen in a comparable situation in the future. Absolutely.
Okay. So what are you most curious about in the dream?
I'm curious about this phenomenon of finding myself, again, as I say, this is a recurring motif in my dream life over many, many years, in a situation where I've become aware in the dream that I'm not in ordinary reality. In these situations, I'm not necessarily saying, hey, I'm dreaming, I can do anything I like. I'm lucid, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I become aware that I'm not in ordinary reality, and I think for a moment, well, I have perhaps superpowers, but then something happens that makes me cautious because I realize, as I say, that I'm in a world that is not the ordinary world but has its own physics. So I guess I'm curious about what the dream is telling me and maybe telling us about the structure of reality itself, that there are other worlds beyond the physical world we think we know but have their own physics. I mean, that's the theme that's very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. So the next step in the lightning dreamer process is for the guide to reflect on the dream and say, if it were my dream. So I'll, you know, with your permission, I'd love to share the thoughts and insights and intuitions I'm getting. in my dream, there's a way in which that first scene where I'm kind of on the highway, I might be commuting or traveling somewhere, I'm kind of bored, disinterested, you know, there's a way that that, for me, kind of can represent, you know, day-to-day life, kind of mundane reality, you know, staying in my lane to some degree, the minor irritations and annoyances of, you know, going to work, kind of a structured life on the freeway. And if this is my dream, it's like I'm noticing this urge to jump ship from kind of waking, mundane, normal reality into something else. But there's a niggling thought that, wait, maybe this body isn't, you know, I'm not sure if I'm in the waking reality, the dream reality, but I have this sense that the body might not survive well if I just jump ship like that. And I'm noticing that, you know, when I am kind of contemplating jumping out of the speeding car, it's when I'm in a beautiful landscape. There's these rolling California golden hills. And for me, if this were my dream, I'm thinking about accessing different realities in waking life, that it's not necessarily black and white, that black and white in terms of, like, there's this other dimension that's over here that I can access in dreams or shamanic journeying, and then there's waking life. This dream, to me, almost seems to be suggesting that all of those realities might be interwoven and laid over each other, and it's kind of my thinking that I'm kind of stuck in my lane and I have to jump ship completely out of the car, out of the speeding car, but maybe it's just focusing my attention and waking reality to the field, to the natural world that can give me access to other dimensions, other energetic beings, the plant realm, etc. And when I think of, you know, where I am in the dream, I'm, you know, driving from Gilroy, and it's known for being famous for its garlic. When I think of the structure of garlic, I'm seeing, you know, something that is of the earth. It's grown. It's a root. It's grown in the earth, a bulb, and seeing these different segments and wedges that are kind of individually encapsulated but part of a whole. And so I'm, you know, thinking of that as sort of a metaphor for all of these different dimensions and realms that maybe are much more interlinked than we realize. And that maybe acknowledging how they converge and connect can be a source of health and vitality and kind of essential nutrients. And I think the last thing I'll say is, I was going to say, you know, thinking about my vehicle, and, you know, I think you've said this, and I also kind of hold this view that sometimes in dreams it can be helpful to look at our physical automobile or vehicle or train or plane as possibly being a stand-in for our body, for our the way that we move through the world, the way that we see ourselves moving through the world, and maybe this dream is an invitation to inhabit a little bit of a different conception of what that vehicle is, that maybe it's vaster than that particular vehicle that I've been in for a long time, the white car, that, you know, maybe part of this leap of imagination means, yeah, kind of constructing a different vehicle for viewing reality.
Well, your beautiful words wash over me wave upon wave of suggested meaning, and it's the most delightful and enticing and inspiring way, Tanaya. Thank you. And at some point before I started thinking, well, the car might well be my physical body, you know. And I should remember not just to throw my spirit out of my body because I'm getting fed up with the way the body is acting, or, you know, I'm getting older. I'm much more mileage than you do. I have various challenges, you know, have a knee replacement ahead, for example. So the parts of the body aren't working as well as they used to. But as you spoke to me, somehow what surfaced in me was the idea, Robert, in practical terms, you know, take care of this vehicle.
vehicle. Don't just abandon it. Don't just think you can jump out of it and let it go on its own. Drive carefully, drive safely, and show some gratitude towards this vehicle which has been carrying you for a certain amount of time. So that sense of meaning was coming through very strongly through all the other things, wave upon wave, that you were suggesting. So now you'll ask me for an action plan, right?
Yes, I was just about to ask, so is there an action step you can take to kind of honor that message?
Well, I'm going to pay a little more attention to taking care of my vehicle, my physical body. And there are specific ways in which I'm going to do that. I'm looking at a stationary bicycle I'm using right now, for example.
What? So, and that's a different vehicle. I like that.
Yeah. So we have to take a break. My bumper sticker is, Robin, stay with this body and take care of it for a while, please.
Please, we have
to take a break. But your sister, Tanaira Amelia, wonderful dream teacher and artist. See how much fun these games of sharing are. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moffrey, back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
This is Where the Dream with Robert Moss, a wonderful live guest, Tanaira Amelia. She's showing us how much fun it is to learn to tell our dreams and stories to each other in a way where we can be heard and can receive helpful feedback from each other and be guided towards action. I shared, you know, a little dream with Tanaya, and I suddenly realized it might have been obvious to someone else. It wasn't obvious to me at all. The dream was telling me something rather important about how I need to look after my physical vehicle right now. And Tanaya's beautiful series of associations and suggestions guided me toward to confirming an action plan that I'm embarked on already, but now I'll go further. So, Tanaya, you are, of course, an artist. You're a creative person in many ways. I see you're designing beautiful websites for people these days. Tell us a little bit about your practice as artist and ritualist and dreamer and how all of these things weave together and what you can offer people who might want to seek you out.
I've been thinking a lot about this in preparation for our conversation, and I think I'll start by saying that I've found dreams to be such a powerful inspiration and source of creative material to create from. And that's something I really want to encourage everyone who's listening to possibly explore. And one of the things I love, Robert, so much about the way that you lead workshops and you have instructed us teachers to lead workshops is to bring the spirit of play to our lives in general, but also to our dream work. And to let the inner child come out through the Oracle card game, which is a synchronicity and divination game we often play at active dreaming workshops and classes. And it really takes so little to kind of dive into that space, but I think as adults we can become so stuck in, you know, driving on that freeway and the minor irritations and, you know, things that daily life throw at us. And having tools and practices and things to play with that can kind of get our creative juices flowing, it brings that sparkle and vitality back to life, whether you consider yourself an artist or not. I think, you know, having places to play in life are so important. And doing it as a group has been completely thrilling. I just love that.
Let's remind people that they can reach you and you coach and help and inspire and create with people in so many ways at dreamsthatspeak.com. That's how you can reach Tanaya. And since you brought up the theme of synchronicity and since you opened with a dream involving a healing source, a healing spring and ancestral territory, I just want to play pushy author for a moment and tell the story of how my new book with your art on its cover comes to be published in the way that it's being published. This is Mysterious Realities, dream traveler's tales from the imaginal realm. And it's a territory that you know well, Tanaya. I was walking after one of our workshops in Berkeley, California, with our coordinator, Jane Carlton, who you know well. I think you're at this workshop. We're walking on our way to dinner, and I'm talking about three things. You'll see why I'm mentioning this right now very specifically. I'm talking about Pegasus and how you open the spring of the muses. I'm recalling the ancient myth in which Pegasus stamps with his hooves and his wings beating above on the unyielding rock and opens the spring of the muses. That in the Greek story is how you get to the source of inspiration. You have to stamp a bit. So I'm talking about Pegasus, the winged horse, stamping really hard and opening the spring of the muses. That's the first thing I'm talking about. You know, I walk around talking about this kind of stuff all the time. And then, and secondly, I'm talking about the idea that I have some almost complete stories. The phrase is important. I have some almost complete stories which maybe could be a book. And thirdly, I'm talking about the idea that we might be living more than one life right now. I'm talking about parallel lives in the sense of having another life going on right now. I often feel I'm living twice at once or more than twice at once. So this is my conversation. Those are the three themes. Pegasus, almost complete stories, and I might be living more than one life right now. And I look across the street, I'm in Berkeley, and I see Pegasus, the winged horse, on the front of a bookshop, the Pegasus bookstore. So I said to Jane, bye, I have to go across the road right now, I'll catch you later. So I'm running across the road, and Berkeley's motorists are amazingly kind towards pedestrians, so people stop to me and don't actually run me down as I'm running through the cars to get into the Pegasus bookstore. So there I am under the wings of Pegasus. I'm at the threshold, I look into the bookstore, and at eye level, in a bookcase, I see a book with my name on the back, on the sign, Moss. The title of the book, Almost Complete Poem. Not stories, but Almost Complete Poem. It's close enough, isn't it? So I run to grab the book, and I start looking at it. Then I notice the book next to it is called I Must Be Living Twice. So I've got Pegasus, I've got Almost Complete Poem by Moss, and I've got I Must Be Living Twice. So it feels like a sort of, you know, a hat trick. So the next day I'm having lunch with my favorite editor, Georgia Hughes of New World Library, and I sit down and we've ordered wine, and before the wine comes, I'm ready to tell her the story, and she says to me before I can speak, Robert, what I'd really like you to do next is I'd like you to do a collection of your stories, your traveler's tales, of what it's like to be living consciously in the multidimensional universe, stepping out of different realities, living by synchronicity. I say, funnily enough, Georgia, that's what I have in mind too. Here's why. So we agree that she would publish my almost complete stories when they're complete enough, and it all happens under the wings of Pegasus. And one of the major themes is stepping in and out of different bodies and different lives. So I have to share that with you.
That's one thing that
comes into play. I think you're finding it already. You know, we live in an animate, sentient, conscious universe where everything is listening and looking. And sometimes, you know, you're in the right track when those things become benign, give you the nod, give you the come on, give you the secret handshake, give you the eye in a certain way. You know this, I know this. And in the same way, sometimes when we're pushed back and the rug is pulled out from under us, we become awake to the fact that this isn't the right way. It's that something else is holding us back, holding the door shut, but it's not the right way to go forward. So part of the dreamer's way of being in the world world has become more conscious of how these things work, more alert to how they work, and more sensitive to how to play with the elements of the conscious, sentient universe that are playing with us.
I really feel that, and something I've noticed in my own life is that doing dream work practices, looking for synchronicities and sidewalk oracles out in the world, and then taking action on them, which is a very important step, has really helped me hone my intuition. And I noticed that creatively, whether I'm designing a website, I mean, I've had dreams about potential web clients, I've had dreams of making art and painting that have given me inspiration and confidence to do it. But when I'm in the creative process, it's like it's the same skill set. It's the same tool that I've honed through dream work and, you know, using the lightning dream work technique and reflecting, you know, if it were my dream to clients or friends. That same process of trusting intuition is so vital to creativity for me. And I think it is and can be for a lot of people. So these practices really feed into each other.
I'm looking at a text. It's entirely familiar to you. It may not be familiar to our readers yet. They can find it on the Robert Moss blog if they search for Tenaya, T-N-A-Y-A. Some of these words are on the cover of my book, Mysterious Realities. So I'm going to quote your words back to you for a moment. They're inscribed on the ochre-colored road in your painting. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to offer these words, and then we'll come back to them in your voice in a moment. Quote, as I'm quoting Tenaya's from her painting, "This is where the wolf resides. Show me the way through deep forest. Take me back to where I came from long before. I know the path begins in the dark trees. They know my name. Our family has always worshipped the form of the Great Mother. I surrender to your grace. I feel you ever inside me. Holy, holy." So these wonderful words are actually on the Amber Road in Amber's painting, and Tenaya's painting of the same title. And when we come back after the break, I'm going to get Tenaya to tell us again about this painting, about more of her life as an artist, about the sacred springs, the creative springs from which she creates. And I'm going to find some further way of celebrating her for offering this glorious art for the cover of my new book, A Big Leap Forward to Me, in terms of the way that I write and tell things, Mysterious Realities. So we're talking to Tenaya Amelia. This is Where the Dream of the Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Where the Dream with Robert Moss. Go to my website, mossdreams.com, where you'll find more details about the book I keep talking about as an excited parent of a new production, Mysterious Realities. But go to Tenaya Amelia's website, dreamsthatspeak.com, for more about her and her work as a dream teacher, artist, and all-round creative catalyst. So, Tenaya, tell us a little bit, because people don't necessarily know about it, but they can find out about it, the sources I'm giving them. Tell us a bit about your painting, The Amber Road, and tell us a little bit about your current work as an artist and how it's used by dreams.
I would love to. And as you mentioned in a blog post earlier and actually at my website, I go into great depth about, I have, you know, the travel report of the dream, etc. But I think what I really want to share today is for many, many, many years of creating art, I've had the sense of my canvases being almost like a window into other dimensions. And the act of painting being a way of playing in and living in for those moments as I'm creating, to touch that other dimension. And this painting in particular, it feels like a place to me. And I started creating the painting at a workshop with one of my painting teachers, Flora Bowley, and I had this dream of the Amber Road, and I found a beautiful piece of music that's on that blog post from a Polish singing group, Laboratory in Pieszczyny, and I had that playing in my ears, and I had done a dark underpainting, and these trees started to emerge. And I, you know, the painting took a couple years to finish, and as I had other dreams about my Polish and other Slavic ancestors, parts of that wove into the dream. And it became a living landscape, and things emerged in the painting from somewhere wider and deeper than my conscious awareness and my conscious mind. You know, the black Madonna figure, the goddess, came from a dream I had where my grandmother was telling me that our family has always worshipped a form of the Great Mother. And I didn't even realize when I was painting it that I was painting a black Madonna. And my mom kind of pointed that out to me. And I painted these flags on the trees. They're red fabric hangings with traditional Yugoslavian embroidery. And what was so interesting, Robert, is I taught at a women's gathering called Spirit Weavers Gathering this summer. I taught an Art of Chiromancy class, synchronicity and dreaming and in life. And as I was setting up in a forest for this class, an outdoor class, I was hanging up a piece of silk fabric to kind of show people how to find it so they could see it from a distance to get to the class. And as I was hanging this fabric and kind of looking at the tree being dressed like this, I had chills and a sense of, wait, this feels really familiar. Why does this feel so familiar? And I realized that it's what was in my painting. I had painted these flags to show the way through the woods. And at that same gathering on the second to last night, there were some incredible musicians, Pia and her group Wild Honey, singing both Appalachian harmonic songs and Slavic harmonic songs also, which had also been in that original Amber Road dream. So this painting feels like it is a merging of dimensions in a way, like it is a place and has drawn together both waking reality and dreams. And I think that all of the arts can really give us access to playing with and manipulating in a positive way our imaginations. We can contact other realities and play with them, and it's just been a tremendous source of inspiration and guidance for me.
Well, it is an extraordinary portal picture. I'm just looking at it again. I just threw it up on my screen, the Amber Road. I'm not talking about the cover of my book now. I'm talking about the original painting. It's so alive. I could imagine, perhaps you've done this, I could imagine guiding a whole group of people to travel through the forest, the remarkable, enchanted, magical forest of this painting, find their own way on the roads that it offers. It actually offers many, many roads. Make an encounter with the Great Mother or Black Madonna as she appears in the painting. It is one of those pictures that certainly opens worlds, opens portals between worlds, which people have a wonderful time journeying on. Have you done that? Have you invited other people to use your painting as a portal and try and journey through it?
I've had many years ago, like 20 years ago, I had inspiration to. Like I saw a flash of that, but I have never done it. And I actually have my first art show coming up in September, on September 28th. In 20 years, my first art show, and I'm going to have this piece there, and I've been wanting to, as part of the opening, I wanted to do some sort of journey, and I love your idea, so I think I will do that.
I've done a lot of work with artists over the years, as you know. I mean, I draw and color a bit myself, but I don't paint much, but part of me in a parallel life is really devoted to art more than to writing. And in all the years that I've been teaching these things, visual artists have been the number one occupational group or vocational group that's come to my workshop, other than nurses. They're about neck and neck. Nurses and visual artists are neck and neck as attendees in my programs. And I have led over the years, not that recently, but within the last past few years I've done this, when we've had artists with their work in some of my workshops, so the workshop was supposed to be about, we've often said, okay, let's put up a painting or a selection of paintings. Let's invite people to journey with the drum and find what they can discover through the portal of the picture. And sometimes we leave it pretty open. Okay, you're going to step inside the picture, find a world inside it. Sometimes the picture, like yours, suggests certain lines of exploration. It might be ancestral lines of exploration. There might be different traditions. There might be the Great Mother or something. It's always been a very rewarding experience. Mm. I remember 20, 25 years ago in New York City in the studio of a very gifted artist who was part of in my early dream work in New York City. We set it up completely. I mean, she found fabric rolls out in the streets abandoned in the fashion district of New York. We used these to create a great throne of memory in which people would take turns to sit after the journey into the pieces, some of them were installation art, some of them were sculpture, some were painting. People sit in the throne of memory and speak in an almost sort of hieratic, almost ritual way about what they discovered in the journey, and people would sit around ready to listen, absorb, and celebrate. So I can just see that, you know, in your work, in your play, not only with your own art, but maybe with the work of other artists who come into connection with you, there might be some fun to be had with this kind of thing.
I love that idea.
Yeah. All right. So we've got a little time, but we don't have time to take another dream report because you know what will happen. It will just run out of it. So what is it that you're working at or playing at the moment?
Yeah. I don't know if you'd be open to this, but this other dream would really love to come out, and I don't think it necessarily...
Let it come out quickly. We won't have time to do the whole process, but you give us a very brief taste.
Perfect. Yes. So in this dream, I'm walking on the dirt road in Sebastopol with a friend. Sebastopol is a town nearby.
Right.
And there's this beautiful rolling green landscape, and my friends and I are walking side by side. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a flash across the rolling hillside. And look, a woman dressed completely in white with her hair streaming behind her is standing fully astride a white horse. And the whole landscape is electrified with her energy, and she's standing in total mastery and command on this white horse. And a voice in the landscape says, "Our Lady in White rides again."
Mm.
And I know that because she's riding, that the Renaissance Fair is nearby. And then we're at the Renaissance Fair, and there is celebration and joy and creativity,
right.
Sumptuous costumes and celebration.
Well, carry that wonderful image, and anybody listening, carry that image to Sebastopol, California, where I will be speaking and reading from Mysterious Realities on October the 26th. I will be in Sebastopol, so let's let the blazing white, beautiful image of the lady with the horse come clip-clop, galloping with us to Sebastopol on October 26th. Okay, we've got to take our last break. We've had great fun with Tanaira, Amelia. We'll be back in a moment, really, to say thank you and sweet dreams.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Where the Dream with Robert Moss. Tanaira, Amelia, what fun to be with you. And as you've probably been hearing, I'll be in Tanaira's territory in California. I'll be teaching in Berkeley, a wonderful weekend of adventure living on the mythic edge on October 27th, 28th. And I'll be speaking at a number of bookstores, including Copperfields in Sebastopol, in support of the new book, Mysterious Realities. Thank you for all that you've given. And above all, Tanaira, thank you for the wonderful, luminous, mysterious, magical, irresistible art you've given to the cover of my new book.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's been fun talking with you again.
All right. Thank you for all the artistry and dreaming and creativity you bring us. Okay, from now until next time, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.